Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the faithfulness of the Lord? Now, I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit always orchestrates everything. I had no idea that communion was going to be served today. And it just so happens that I'm going to talk about one of the great covenants we have through the blood of Jesus, and that's divine healing. And so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to expose one of the greatest lies of the enemy, and that is a tactic he has used and is using today. It's called fear. We're going to expose the spirit of fear and talk about it. We just graduated our youngest at Southwestern Assemblies of God University Friday night. So you're looking at a man who just got a raise as of Friday night. So I'm quite overjoyed and so happy that our daughter had been trained now to be a youth pastor, or excuse me, a children's pastor. And God's going to use her, we believe, in a special way. So we're thankful for what we just experienced these last few days. My daughter and I were standing outside of a place of business in Waxahachie just yesterday. And I put my arm around her, and we knew we were going to be leaving her again. And we'll see her, I believe, Mother's Day weekend. But then after that, it could be quite some weeks before we see her, maybe the holidays. And so I put my arm around her, and I said, is everything okay? Do you need anything else? We'd taken care of little things and got her moved and many things. And she said, Dad, I'm just really anxious. And I said, I remember at your age feeling anxious and even overwhelmed at the opportunities not only that excite us, but just the real fact is you're just trusting the Lord to take care of all these things you can't see. Isn't that what trust and faith is? Trusting the Lord to take you through the things you can't see, because none of us know what tomorrow may hold. Sometimes a wonderful, positive, explosive, joyful things happen to us, and we just testify and rejoice, and we're just skipping our way through. And then there's other times difficult situations come. We didn't see it coming, and it can be very difficult and challenging. So I asked my daughter, I said, you know, this is very elementary. You know this. You've been taught this, but when you leave us, even here in a moment, you've got several minutes before you drive down to your house where you're going to be renting a room from a precious lady and living for these next several weeks. What do you do typically when you're driving down the road to go to work or go here or there? And she said, oh, usually I've got a coffee in the coffee holder and just kind of just cruising along. I said, well, you know, what you need, sweetheart, I said, is You've got a spirit of heaviness right now. It's all over your face. I can see the anxiety. I can see the worry. I can see the fear. And I want to encourage you when you get in the car. I said, I know you've got a repertoire of praise and worship CDs in your system in your car. I said, I don't want you to spend another moment unfruitful in that car. I want you to put on a praise and worship CD, and I said, I want you to start lifting your voice as you're driving, and you start giving God praise. Start singing. Start praising. I said, then you'll find yourself feeling His presence overwhelming you and wrapping itself around you. Then you'll find yourself beginning to speak in tongues and pray in the Holy Ghost. And I got a little text just not long after, and she said, boy, the weight's been lifted. Because right before I left her, I put my arms on her shoulders and I just pressed down to where it was a little uncomfortable. She said, what are you doing? I said, this is what the enemy does to you right here. He's always pressing, trying to hold you down. But I said, when you praise the Lord, you silence the enemy and the avenger. And the power of God comes into your situation because He inhabits the praises of His people. Yes, with that in mind, let's go to Isaiah 53:5. I'm going to use just a really brief portion of my testimony. Many of you have heard it before, but I'm only going to use it to launch a few thoughts here in the next few moments. I'm not going to hold you a long time, but I came with something to say, not just to say something. And so I pray the Lord will really bless us here in the next few minutes. Isaiah 53:5, most of us could quote it from memory, but let's read it together. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Can we thank the Lord for that? Father, thank you for sending Jesus to satisfy the justice of God, take our place, Lord, and do what only he could do, because his blood was spotless blood, pure blood, the blood of God. And only that blood was the blood that could redeem us and wash us and cleanse us and heal us. And I thank you for that today, and the privilege we had of celebrating around the table of the Lord and taking communion and being reminded once again of the covenant that you've made with your people. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Most of you have heard my testimony, because occasionally I just have those times where I need to give it more than maybe you need to hear it. And you might think, well, why would that be? Because every time I give my testimony, I stay healed. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And all of us have different challenges and things we face, but every time I have the privilege, and I want to use just a portion of it. I was 19 years old. I just celebrated over 37 years of being cancer-free. And what happened was simply this. I had a cough that developed, and it never would go away. It just kept getting worse. I started having pain and started feeling hard lumps under the skin, around my neck, under my arms, around my waist, up around the ribs. I could feel these hard protruding lumps many places, and my heart was doing weird things, beating irregularly, and shortness of breath, and so many little things, but put them all together, it was hard to function. And at 19, when you're in the prime of your life and you don't have a pain, you don't have an ache, and you don't have shortness of breath, all of a sudden, my body had been ravaged by something that we did not yet know what it was. I went to the hospital and saw the experts, went through a battery of tests. Results came back, lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And my parents were told on a Wednesday night about 9 o'clock from the chief surgeon and a lead doctor of our team that was taking care of me that I had 3 to 6 months to live unless there was a miracle. Isn't it crazy that you can be going along just living, feeling like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and then all of a sudden one piece of news can change your entire path? And so all of a sudden, my parents and I look at each other in disbelief, and it's like this can't even be happening. And I'm still thinking they're going to prescribe something that I'll pick up at the pharmacy on the way out of town, and that'll take care of it. But little did we realize that radiation and chemotherapy, neither one would help us. The doctor said the cancer has spread like wildfire. I saw the pictures. I saw the pictures of my lungs, of my chest cavity. I saw the black masses the size of golf balls that had filled the chest cavity from the neck all the way to the waist. I saw the pictures of my lungs. And the doctor said, your lungs look like a man's lungs who smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day for years. And I hadn't smoked a day in my life. I didn't even risk that, because we had an all-American dad. He'd put on stripes and we'd see stars. And so we just didn't go there. We just didn't go there at all. I just thought, we'll just not even go down those roads. And so, I just remember my parents just falling on their knees on that floor when they heard those words that I had 3 to 6 months to live, just total disbelief. And they just kind of scooted on their knees to the bed and laid their arms up there, I remember, on top of me on the bed, and just had a moment where they just didn't know what else to do but just weep. I remember thinking, I wonder why they're struggling so much. I'm the one that's got the problem. But when I had my own children, it's very easy now to understand how they must have felt. And now with 2 grandchildren, I can't imagine how that would feel. Maybe you've experienced that kind of loss. And but, you know, I'm so thankful that no matter what we each have experienced, God's grace is sufficient to take us through whatever it is. Even the closest one to us if they go to be with the Lord before us. And sometimes I know that that has happened. And those who have lost children and so forth, this has to be a devastating and difficult thing. But I still trust the Lord that no matter what I may experience or go through, His grace will be sufficient. I never dreamed of a day that I would not have my parents. They've always been there, a phone call away. Both of my parents are with the Lord now. And I told my brother the other day, I said, it's just you and me, bub. We're what's left. But we've been given everything we've ever needed by godly parents for us to succeed in life, marriage, family, and ministry because of the investment that was made. But when you've done all you know to do and you've spent all you can spend, we felt like the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. She saw all the experts. She spent every dime that she had, presently or in savings, just to try to find some help. But the Bible says, rather grew worse. I was growing worse by the day. The doctor said, we want to do two radical surgeries, and we want to do an incision here at your neck. We're going to create a large opening. We want to go in and remove as much of the mass as possible. We'll take one of the tumors and we will send it to pathology, of course, which is typical to have it tested while things are going on. But he said, we will come in and that incision will be closed. And immediately he said, I will do the second most aggressive surgery, which will be an incision that will start from the middle of your stomach, and the incision will wrap all the way around to the other side. We'll need to open you up on your right side, break some of your ribs in two, and this is how we will spend numerous hours going after two cancerous masses the size of a small fist, one attacking your heart, another mass is attacking one of your lungs. This was now explaining the problem I was having with heart and lungs, and I'm not going to go through gruesome details beyond that. I would never do that, but just want you to know we really were in a fight, and we really needed the miracle. Now, when the doctor said without a miracle, Mark has 3, maybe 6 months to live, when you say the word miracle to a Pentecostal family, that's very encouraging. But he wasn't talking about a miracle from the Lord. He was talking, you know, medically speaking, in surgery, when we can actually get inside, beyond the pictures, beyond the test, if there's something that may happen that gives us a chance to save his life. But without that chance that we're hoping we may discover, that's the end result. Let me talk to you about fear. That's about all the testimony I'll use. When my parents left the room, and a 19-year-old college football player that I was laying there in that bed, I didn't feel all that tough at the moment. I was hearing the obvious facts that were clear. The facts are my body's been ravaged with cancer, and it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The fact was very clear: without a miracle, had 3 to 6 months to live. But let me talk to you about something that even supersedes the facts, and that's the truth. The truth supersedes the facts. The truth is, by His stripes, I was healed. The truth is, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Do I need to keep going? This is what we need to focus on, because so many times all of us live in a factual place, and the facts are clear and they're real. But if we only accept the facts, then we never go beyond them and tap into the truth that supersedes those facts. And many of those facts that we deal with are very negative things, debilitating things, things that incarcerate us and hurt our lives. But if you know the truth, it's the truth that sets you free. And so many times I see Christians that I meet, that I talk to, they're quick to tell me all the facts. And we're like, okay, that's the facts. But then very few say, but the truth says this in God's Word. And very few times we actually go to the truth, which has the power over any given fact. And it's the knowledge of the truth and the application of truth that sets us free. My daughter told me the facts. The facts were clear. I'm anxious, Dad. This is on my mind. I'm feeling the weight of this new challenge and new season of my life. I'm being released to be on my own, really, for the first time, and pay my own bills and make my own way. And even yesterday, I took her cell phone off my account and set up her own account. And that doesn't sound like a whole lot per month, but to her it was huge. Because she's never known a phone bill. Because her daddy and mom has paid that phone bill. Are you still here? And so she said the facts. And I said, I hear what you're saying, but the truth is, and I began to quote that scripture and speak the truth to her. And when she got in her car and simply applied the truth of God's word, then the power that she needed, the help that she needed, then came to her and took care of those facts that had seemed to be so debilitating in her life. So I was there in the bed and thinking about the surgeries the next morning, and your mind, if you've ever been in the hospital, if you've ever been in an anxious situation, your mind just races and rehearses over and over the situation at hand. Well, I experienced for the first time in my life the spirit of fear. And the reason I say the spirit of fear, not just fear, because fear is a spirit. It comes from the enemy himself. And fear is certainly used in so many aspects of our life. So many people have experienced a fear of the past. Some are fearful of the present. And then others walk in a fear of the future. The what ifs and the unknowns. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Come on, somebody. He didn't give us that spirit. What did He give us instead? Power, love, and a sound mind. And so when fear comes to each of us, and it always does because the enemy uses it against each of God's children in one way or another. And so when that happens, what in the world do you do? You have to understand and learn and know how to cast down that stronghold, because fear is a stronghold of the enemy. In his toolbox, fear's on the top shelf of the box, and he uses it all the time. You don't know what's going to happen. What about that cough? You feel that? I bet that's cancer. All the time he's whispering this kind of junk to God's people. You see what you're feeling right now? That's probably cancer. See that place on your skin? That doesn't look too good. I bet that's melanoma, and it's going to take your... And he does this all the time. If it's not that way, it's in some other way. Your kids, they're never going to serve. They're never going to get their act together. Why don't you just give up and accept it? The fact is, they could be struggling. But the truth is, if you know the Lord, you can confess Him as your Lord and Savior and believe Him for your house and expect that promise to be yours. And so this fear was really coming against me. I described it like this. The way I felt it at 19 was an icy grip of fear around my throat. It paralyzed me. And then I realized as I matured in the Lord and got married just shortly after this experience, and Susie and I launched into ministry, I began to realize that stronghold has to be pulled down as other strongholds. So what do you do? Well, the weapons of our warfare, help me here, are not carnal, right? But they're what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that would exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into what? Captivity, every what? Thought into the obedience of Christ. So that's not something He does for us. That's something that we exercise and implement ourselves through faith in His Word. And so I realized at 19, I'm going to learn how to fight spiritual warfare. Maybe I was going to learn this at 40, but it came at 19. And you either fight or you're overwhelmed. You either know how to supersede the facts with the truth, or you're going to be one of the statistics of the facts. And so I quickly said, Lord, what kind of weapons do I need to use? I mean, I'm battling. I'm there in this room by myself. I feel the icy grip of fear around my throat. I have no hope for tomorrow. And yet the Lord gave me these. He said, the weapons that I'm giving you are offensive. In other words, how many of you know in simple sports, there's a defense and there's an offense? And the Lord spoke this to me because at 19, those were terms that I understood and it really helped me. It was simple. It was elementary. But He said, you're on the defense. You're sitting back just trying to survive these attacks. Oh, you've got your shield of faith and you're trying to just kind of hold off. He said, but I didn't create you just to exist. I created you to overcome. Help me, somebody. Some of us need to know you're not the one being overcome. You are the overcomer. For the greater one lives on the inside of you. You're not the victim. So many people I meet in my travels have such a victim mentality. I mean, they're entitled to love being a victim. You talk to them, how are you? Oh, just barely hanging on. How are you today? Oh, it's flu season. I tell you, we know we're all about to get it. You should travel with me and hear some of the things that come out of Christians' mouths. And then it's no wonder that they're always sick, overwhelmed, and broke. And they've been that way for decades. Never, ever seeming to just come up above it even but a moment. Why? Because they keep themselves incarcerated by the confession of their own mouth. I can't get a witness in this Presbyterian service, but it's still good preaching a little further north of the Red River. And so, give me just a few more moments. Then I began to understand, I'm having fun with you. You know that. You know Mark Perkey can only be serious for so long, and then it bubbles over. You know that. I may even preach on fried okra in a moment if it gets too rough in here. I'll start preaching on okra and homemade skillet cornbread, and everybody will be with me. Amen. See how it already works? See that? Now I can go ahead and finish this message because I got you where I needed you. And so I needed to learn how. And so the Lord spoke to my heart, get on the offensive. And your offensive weapons are my word, my name, and my blood. Isn't that powerful? And so at 19, I received instruction from the Holy Spirit that said, you're sitting back on the defensive. You're just trying to just survive and exist and hope you make it through this. Instead, I said, okay, Lord, I've got it. I understand the offensive nature of what you're saying that I can do. And so instead of just existing, I began to speak his name. Is there anything more powerful than the name of Jesus? And when his name is spoken, demons begin to scatter like a roaches when the light's turned on. It's so powerful, the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. And there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And I began to speak his name. I began to sing songs about his name that I had recalled and brought back into my memory from my upbringing in church and around the move of God. And then, I mean, as soon as I began to speak his name, that icy grip of fear, I felt it begin to just fall off of me. Instead of being cloaked and laden down, burdened down with what I had been experienced, then I didn't stop there. He said, not only my name, but my word. And I began to speak his word. The word is the sword of the Spirit. A double-edged sword is powerful. Any way you wield it, it does tremendous damage because each side is sharpened to perfection. And so it's not just this movement. It's any way you hold it, any way you move it, it does tremendous damage to your foe. And so the Lord is the one who gave us this example. When Satan came and tempted him in the desert and was sowing those lies of deceit, trying to get Jesus to doubt who he was, his authority and his lordship, what did Jesus do? He would just say, hold on there. It is written. Man, and he started speaking the word of God. And when you and I speak the word of God, what that does is that is the first thing you do that overrides the facts, as real and as clear as they may be. When you speak the word trumps it. The word supersedes it. No other word can. No other advice from anyone else but the word of God. So I began to quote the word. I began to speak the word. I had verses that I had memorized. Others, I grabbed my Bible on the nightstand next to the hospital bed and read verses like these and many others. And as I began to speak his word, now you're feeling some power. You're feeling some confidence. You're feeling now the wind kind of blowing in your sails again, and you're not all of a sudden feeling so overwhelmed, and you're not feeling so overcome. Now you're starting to taste the grapes that you were born to taste. Now you're starting to see what the power of the word does, no matter what else has been said. And then there was a third offensive weapon, and that was the blood. And I began to sing some of the very songs that Sister Tasha led us and this team led us in this morning. What can wash away my sin? nothing but the blood of Jesus. I began to realize that I can plead the blood, apply the blood by faith to the doorpost of my life and claim its provision. That's all that means. When you plead the blood, it's not the word blood that has the power. It's that you are appropriating its power over the situation at hand. Are you still with me? And so as I began to speak about the blood, claim its provision, I'll never forget, let me give you an example of this. Our son is 31 years old, has a beautiful wife, and has given us two great grandchildren that we love so very much. I'll never forget when he was 16 years old. It was a day that I wouldn't want to relive. But he was on his way from after school released, and he was on the high school golf team, ended up actually having his pre-med degree partially scholarshiped by the sport of golf. And Pastor and I love golf, so we love these kind of stories. And so he left high school that day to go to golf practice. He had to kind of drive across town to where they practiced every day. As he's coming down a particular street, his inexperience in driving all of these areas at just 16 really showed up, because he comes to a two-way stop. He assumed that this major intersection was a four-way stop. And so he comes up to the stop sign. He's following some of his buddies. They're just doing a real quick, you know, going right on, you know. And so he's doing the same. He's watching them. I got to keep up with them because I don't know if I remember how to get to the golf course, but they do. They're upperclassmen. So he gets to that stop sign, does a quick one of these, and goes on across, assuming that this car coming about 55 or so right here is going to stop. There's no stop sign for them. It's a two-way stop. My son gets his little car right into the middle of that intersection with his eyes focused ahead, and he gets T-boned on that passenger side, totaling that car at impact. And he calls me, and I was in a nearby suburb of Oklahoma City in Revival, and had just gotten, was getting dressed and kind of prepared for that service. And my phone rings, and my son's voice broken, been crying, shaken, dead. And I can't even do it justice of how it sounded, but I've been hit. I've been in a wreck. I need help. I find out, barely can I get where he's at, and of course get in the car and speed over to that place. And there, police officer is there, ambulance is there. And bottom line was this: the police officer who was writing it all up, and my son was very shaken but was not hurt. But he said, had he been hit, the same impact happened just on the other side, on his side, he said, very doubtful that your son would have lived. Now, when I went back and began to recall that day, that was the very morning that after he had eaten a bowl of cereal or whatever, getting ready to go to school, I said, son, let me pray for you. Now, we always prayed over our children, either of us or both of us, whatever the case. But this was different. This was a day where I took a little longer and I began to claim the provision of the blood of Jesus over my son. Not to this degree most mornings, but that morning I began to speak about the blood. I claimed its provision, its protection. I mean, very detailed prayer. Even my son probably was thinking, Dad, that prayer's a little long. I need to go. But I remember it. And then here I am standing looking at a totaled car and a son that survived, who could have been killed instantly had it just happened on the other side. And when I put my arms around my son and held him, now I'm looking up to him and kissing whiskers. Boy, does time really change. But I pulled him into me and I said, just remember this morning, we claimed the provision of the blood of Jesus to protect you today. He said, I remember, Dad. I said, son, I'm so thankful that we have the provision of his blood. Everything could have been different today. And that's the power that we have in his blood. That's why we need to speak about it. We need to appropriate its power and understand its gift to us, not just in communion, not just in song, but going beyond and realizing that we apply the blood of Jesus to the doorpost of our own lives and our families and our jobs and every single day. So when I got through the word, the name, and the blood, I experienced tremendous freedom over that spirit of fear. And ever since that day, now this has been 37 and a half years ago. Ever since that day, I do the same thing at 57 years old that I did at 19. I speak the word, I speak the name, and I claim the provision of the blood. And every single time without fail, every kind of stronghold the enemy would try to bring and put on my back is immediately kicked off my back by the things we've been given to do. And if we don't take our authority in Christ and do what he's given and trained and shown us to do, then we become the victims of culture, the victims of circumstance, even the victims of the old family tree. If my wife had that kind of an attitude, she would have been a fourth generation alcoholic or third generation. And our children would be vulnerable to the root of alcoholism that started way back in her grandfather who died on the doorstep of a priest. Are you still with me? But that's not the attitude. The attitude is when the blood of Jesus was applied to her life and when she was saved as a teenager, then that generational curse over her family and the generations before her and certainly those to come after, it was broken by the power of the provision of his blood. Are you with me? So let me bring it to close. So what are you feeling overwhelmed by? Is there something that's plaguing your mind? Is there something that the enemy's trying to use to rob your peace? If there is, today we're not going to leave this place being robbed by the thief any longer. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. Today it's over. Today it ends here. Because we're going to pray together and we're going to believe God to help us understand how to truly fight this fight of faith. Faith is not a stab in the dark where you just kind of have an attitude, well, I just pray that God will somehow help us just to survive. You know, this old world, it's just an old wicked place. It's a sick place. It's just an old terrible place. I just hope by some miracle, that God will help us. If I lived that way, I wouldn't even be alive. But every day I get up and look in the mirror and say, okay, you ain't not much to look at. But you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You're not the victim, you're the victor. You're not the one today that will be overcome. You are the overcomer, for greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Know who you are in Christ. Take your authority in Christ and pull down every stronghold that the enemy would bring against your life, your family, your body, your finances, and claim the victory of Christ's cross in every situation. Father, we love you. And today, we're so thankful that we have weapons. They're not the weapons of this world because those weapons would be carnal, but you said they were mighty through you. They're godly weapons, offensive weapons, where we don't just sit back and try to survive the attacks of the enemy, but we actually come against the enemy and we overcome every trick and trap of the devil. So as we walk in the authority that you've given us, we're so thankful that we have peace that comes with that and joy and confidence, not in ourselves, but the confidence is in what you have already paid for and accomplished. And we just celebrated it together as a body when we took communion and we were reminded of what you've done for us. And now I pray that we'll walk in it, we'll rise in faith, and we'll let the truth always supersede the facts. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. With every head bowed just for a moment, I want to have the joy of praying with you, friends, before we all leave here in a moment. Is there anybody here who can say, Mark, I'm battling a situation and I need the Lord's help. If that's you, I want you to come and join me here at the front. I want us to pray together before we move on with our own sit plans and things for today. Would you? I'm going to take a moment. Come on, just come and stand here. If you want to sit along the front rows, you can do that if that's more comfortable. But if you want to come and stand here, I'm going to come and pray with you very quickly here in just a moment. As soon as everybody's here, we're going to pray. Anybody else? I just need a breakthrough. I need a miracle in a particular area. Maybe you're battling physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, and you just feel overwhelmed in this battle. Well, today I believe the Lord's given us just a little nugget of truth on what to do and how to do it. I've actually gotten myself encouraged again. I've just preached myself into joy today because I just feel enabled now and empowered by God's word to live where I believe it's His will for us to live. Amen. How many of you see someone up here that you know, that you love? I mean, all of us do. This is family. So would some of you men come and get with these men that are here? And would some of you ladies come and just stand with those ladies that are here? I just know what it feels like, how many times I've been where they are, coming to receive something from the Lord, and then I can feel one of the men behind me praying with me. There's nothing like feeling that support from the family. So lift your hands, everybody. Those of you in the congregation, stretch your hands toward the altars, and let's just begin to pray together. In the name of Jesus, Father, I come against everything that would plague her heart and mind. And Lord, today we rise above whatever's being spoken by the enemy. And we're going to rise above it by speaking the truth. Lord, you said you guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus when we just keep our mind on you. And today, Lord, I thank you, is a day of victory. Because today we've learned what to do in the situation that we're in. And today we're not going to be a victim to the enemy's tactics anymore. But we stand in faith and we claim the provision of your word. The word, the name, and the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church, lift your voice. Create an atmosphere of praise in this house. And God will come right in and inhabit this atmosphere of praise. And that's when He'll do His mighty work. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name above every name. In the name of Jesus. We have victory, Lord, over every situation. Over every situation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I give you praise. I give you thanks today, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror through Him who has loved me. Greater is He who lives within us than he that is in the world. And I give you praise today, Lord, for your strength and your help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to be speaking the Word of God right now, quoting Scripture as you pray. Some of us right now need to be speaking the name of Jesus over these situations that are represented in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I wonder if anybody remembers the name above every name. Would you speak that name out loud and claim the power that's in that name for you in Jesus' name? Thank you, Lord. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We speak the name of Jesus today. And Lord, we claim the victory of your word. We claim the victory of what you have promised. And Lord, if you said it, you'll do it. If you spoke it, Lord, you'll bring it to pass. Because, Lord, you declared it, and it's true. Lord, let the truth of your word supersede and override the facts that may be real. They may be clear, but, Lord, they're not the truth. They're only the facts. But the truth, Lord, is found in your word. Thy word is truth. And Jesus is the way. He's the truth, and He's the life. And I thank you today, Lord, that as we walk in absolute truth, the truth of your word, nothing else, Lord, can rise above the truth of God's word, no matter what it may be. And I give you thanks today, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody lift your hands across this house right now and give the Lord praise. Come on. Some of you that have been sitting a while, perhaps you could just stand for a moment and just lift your hands and your voices and give God the praise that is due His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, You said in Your Word when we're feeling overwhelmed, You said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And Lord, I thank You today that You're a rock in a weary place. Hallelujah. You're a strong tower. The righteous run to You and are safe. Thank You, Jesus. That's the name that we are declaring today. The name that is that tower. The name that is that rock that is higher. The name that's above every other name. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray You will help Your children. I pray, Lord, we would write down scriptures. I pray we would go to battle offensively, not defensively. And I thank You for the help of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Everybody shouted amen. Amen. As pastor's coming to close us out or do whatever else the Lord is speaking to him to do, can I just encourage you to do one thing? How many of you have seen the little old pack of 3x5 cards you can get? I can tell you where you can get them the cheapest. You can go to Dollar General and get a whole pack for a buck. That dollar will be one of the best dollars you've ever spent, because here's what happens. When you really are in battle, as we all should be, not sitting back just hoping we survive, when you go to this mentality that we've described, start writing scriptures down on the 3x5 cards that are the promise to what you're facing. Then put them up where you can visualize them every day. Maybe in the dash of your car as you're going to and from work. Maybe tucked in the mirrored frame of your bathroom mirror. It's, you know what to do. But every time, here's what will happen. You'll start seeing these promises. And after you read them, you'll see them every day. Then they'll become memorized because you see them so often. Next thing you know, instead of driving to work anxious and overwhelmed over your need, next thing you know, your shoulders are a little squared. Your head's held a little high, and there's a little bit of a smirk of joy on your face because you've been speaking the Word for days. And the other can't come in and override that, because that's the truth. So there's just little things. I don't have time to go into the practical things, but that's one thing I wanted to leave you with. Write the promise on a card. Place those cards wherever you can see them every day. And the next thing you'll know, you'll just be a walking Word. The truth of God's Word will be so in you, and whatever's in you comes out here, and that's where the victory's won.
Amen. Don't you appreciate Brother Mark? Amen. It's a good thing to give thanks for the gifts that He's placed in the body. Amen. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Did you know the entire universe is upheld by the Word of God? If it's suitable for upholding the whole universe, how about you making a choice that's going to uphold your life? Amen? I mean, it's a great foundation. The key is we have to go and build on that foundation. You're going to build. The question is where and with what kind of foundation. So, Lord, we just thank You for sending Mark and Susie by to bring a refreshing wind of Your Spirit, a different voice, a different approach, a different mindset, but at the same time, the same Lord, the same Spirit, different ministrations, different administrations. Lord, thank You for refreshing our spirit, refreshing Your Word within us. Lord, refresh us for the battle. We thank You for that. We praise You for meeting us and extending Your grace to us in a powerful way today and allowing us to be in Your presence, calling us into Your presence, and we enjoy You, Lord. We enjoy You. Help us to not be strangers to Your presence, but walk in Your presence daily, we pray. And we thank You and ask Your blessing upon each one as we go from this place, but not from Your presence. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you as you go.